Go to dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict to see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his grace away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, oh, the pangs his soul sustained. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn from him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn from Jesus Christ to die.
The congregation is invited to stand for the invocation and the confession of sins and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated for the reading, the responsive reading of the introit, Isaiah chapter 52:13 through chapter 53, verse 12. This passage of Isaiah clearly foretells of the suffering, death, and resurrection of the promised Messiah, God's servant. It has a traditional name, Song of the Suffering Servant. The passage also clearly explains the reason why the servant needed to suffer, to take on our griefs, sorrows, transgressions, iniquities, and chastisement. The prophecy promises that after suffering, God's servant would make many righteous, taking away their sins and iniquities. Behold, my servant shall act wisely.
He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted.
As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance,
and his form beyond that of the children of mankind.
So shall he sprinkle many nations.
Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand.
Who has believed what he has heard from us?
And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground.
He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities.
Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
By oppression and judgment he was taken away.
And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people.
And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death.
Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth.
Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief.
When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied.
By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities.
Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors.
Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
We pray together the collect. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. And where it is underlined and in bold, the congregation is invited to read along with me. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison, who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with a man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The congregation may be seated. The meditation for this evening focuses on those first three verses of the Isaiah reading we just had. And in addition, where we also hear about God's wisdom of our salvation in the cross from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll also bring that into our meditation. I reread from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13, 14, and 15. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We reflect this evening on what was happening as Jesus suffered and died for us. Was that wise to people, to sinners? Was that good? St. Paul digs into this wisdom of God, which seems foolishness to the world, when he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This beautiful, miraculous, divine prophecy of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53 starts out with saying, "My servant acts wisely." And this, as we reflect, is not in the wisdom of the world of Isaiah's day or the world in Jesus' day or in the world our day. But it is divine wisdom, the wisdom of God. And what is that wisdom? It is the wisdom that he would be lifted up high, Isaiah says, right at the beginning of that passage. And that means to be crucified. And Jesus knew this passage, of course. He knew he would fulfill it. He knew that through this suffering and death and being lifted up, being crucified, many would be saved. For when on Palm Sunday, and I mentioned this in the sermon on Palm Sunday, of one of the many things he did that day, Palm Sunday, he said in John chapter 12, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. You see, he was responding, he was referring, he was remembering, he was fulfilling what Isaiah said would be done by God's servant, Messiah. Now, this being lifted up was not even understood by the crowds that day because they knew that meant to be crucified. They didn't understand how the Christ could be crucified. And the Gospels record that all these people that we have the record of Jesus' interactions with them that night, Thursday, when he's arrested, overnight trials, being before Herod and Pilate that morning, everything recorded in the Scriptures show that people did not think this was wise. They did not accept this as good and divine. They could not accept that a king could be crucified. That reading we just had from the gospel mocked him. They mocked him. "You're really a king? How can a king look like this?" And so we think on these things and we think, what is precious to us? What is wise to us? When human wisdom and glory, the human ideas of that, are considered, then we Christians look very foolish. Because, look, you Christians, you're not always wealthy and powerful. There are so many other ways you can have success in this world. And so the world looks at the Christian church. Sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's weak. But it looks at the Christian church and says, "You Christians, this is not the way to get ahead. Don't you know you should be wiser than that? Pilate and Herod, when they tried Jesus, especially Pilate, he said, "So you're the king of the Jews." Jesus said, "You have said so." But they're then making these charges against you. If you were a king, you would defend yourself, right? But he kept silent. The crowds, well, we know that many of them were probably in the crowds that welcomed Jesus and called him king on that Palm Sunday. But now they're riled up by the chief priests to choose Barabbas to be released and not Jesus. They allowed himself to be riled up. See, this is the way we sinful humans act. People can get us going in a way, a sinful way, a human way of thinking, and we go along with the crowd, never thinking or forgetting God's wisdom, how he wants us to live and be saved. The Roman soldiers, they mocked and they tortured Jesus. And what did they mock him about? "Oh, you're a king, king of the Jews, right? Oh, let us put a purple cloak on you. Let us honor you. Let's put this crown on you, a crown of thorns." So they mocked him, the idea that he would be a king. That said, even at the cross, the chief priests and the scribes mocked him. The crowds mocked him. Said, "If you come down from the cross, then we'll believe." And even the two thieves, it says, mocked Jesus at first. We know one of those thieves later repented on the cross, but to start, they both mocked him. So their ideas of a king was a human power, human glory, somebody nobody could force to go to a cross. That should be a king, right? But can that idea save them and make them holy and righteous before God? What saved any one of them and would make any one of them righteous before God? What were the first words that Jesus said from the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What they needed was for him to be on the cross and to pronounce forgiveness and bear their sins. They needed that. This is divine wisdom. That even Pilate or the soldiers or the crowds, if they would believe, they could be saved. This is God's wisdom. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." In the first words from the cross, that's what he was doing. Drawing all people. Won't you believe and be forgiven? We as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, these words that we hear from the cross, we honor them, we learn from them, we trust them. For Jesus was given to be the sacrifice, to be the offering, to bear our sins. And by believing in his words, God makes us holy and righteous. This is the wisdom of God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die in our stead. Help us to always have faith in him and know that your plan, your wisdom, is what we need and what gives us true life everlasting. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn 451.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on. is the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, tis he, tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave.
The seven words from the cross. The Gospels record Jesus speaking seven times from the cross, hanging by nails on a cross made even simple breathing terribly painful. To say the seven statements loud enough for people to hear cost Jesus much physical pain and grief. Yet his words are full of grace and love for all his accusers and torturers, for a great sinner on the cross, for his disciples and for his mother. His words are full of grief to be separated from his Father by the sin he bore. His words are obedience to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. His words declare his victory over sin, Satan, and death for us. His words give up his spirit into his Father's care. The congregation is invited to read the bold words in each of the passages. The first word, from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. We sing verses 3 and 4 of hymn 451.
Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, hear the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
The second word from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you,
today you will be with me in paradise."
The third word, from John chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn 547. The fourth word, from Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 through 43 and 45 through 47. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is,
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." We sing verses 3 and 4 of hymn 547.
The Lamb, as wayward sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the Lord to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. He lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
The fifth word, from John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "A jar full of sour wine stood there." So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. The congregation is invited to stand for the sixth word and the rest of the service. The sixth word, from John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said,
It is finished.
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We sing, Lamb of God, pure and holy, hymn 434.
Jesus, oh
The seventh word, from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. We sing the hymn, Were You There? 456.
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.